I really care about serving those that I can serve best. And for me, I just knew that a one-on-one coaching container is A, what I loved, and B, what moved the needle. And I needed to let go of my ego, and I needed to trust God.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. Our guest today is Christina LeCure. She is a confidence and success coach and a motivational speaker and the host of Decide It's Your Turn podcast. And today she's going to share some of her wisdom and knowledge with us. And Christina, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, JP. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I usually begin with just maybe tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of how you ended up in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I usually kind of start the story with what I think is a funny story. I usually get a few laughs out of it. But I always say two things happened to me when I turned 18. One, I got good at golf. And two, I got somewhat attractive. And most people kind of go, oh, that's so funny. You know, why is that a bad thing? But for me, what really happened at that age, the late teens, early 20s, is I became addicted to the external validation. I became addicted to, you're so good at golf, you're so pretty, your life's going to be amazing. And it was really the first time in my life that I'd had that external validation and that attention. You know, I came from a pretty normal upbringing, but at that moment in time, you know, obviously at a young age, you just fall in love with that. And it became almost like an addiction to me. And so in my brain, I said, okay, well, how do I get more of this? And for me, it was becoming more successful. It was becoming, you know, skinnier and just continuing to work for what I thought was going to make me happy when everyone tells me, you know, you're so great, your life's going to be amazing, you're pretty, you're good, you're talented, all the things. So for about 10 years, I became addicted to that external validation. I unfortunately had a horrible eating disorder. I really didn't like myself. I didn't know how to find my worth in anything besides what people were telling me. That atta girl is what I called it. So at about 27 years old, I was in a really, really bad place. I had failed to qualify for tour school after like the fourth year in a row. I didn't know if I wanted to live. I had a horrible eating disorder. And really at 27, I just decided that I kind of looked around. I took a really hard, it was kind of my rock bottom moment. And I kind of took a look around and I said, wait a minute, you know, I have the money. I have the success. I've had a lot of success at in my life at this point in time, and I am truly not happy. And there's a lot of people out there that are way happier than me that have a way less than me. So how did they do that? And really that moment, that rock bottom moment, is really what propelled me to do what I'm doing today. And, you know, in the last, gosh, almost 15 years, I have truly realized that the power of the mind is so unbelievable, and you taking personal responsibility for your life is the greatest thing you could ever do. And by, you know, working on my mental strength, and, you know, people always ask, like, what was the tangibles that I actually did? But I hired coaches. I went to seminars. You know, this was before podcasts were even really a thing. I was like watching YouTube videos, reading books, and, you know, hiring anyone and everyone I possibly could, taking courses, classes, masterminds, coaches. And I really figured out that I had the power to change my life. I had the power to decide it was my turn. And so now, for the last 7 years, that's what I've been doing, is coaching, mental performance coaching, confidence coaching, whatever you want to call it. But I now get to help people do the same thing.
I love it. Sounds like you used to hang out with Tony Robbins when his name was Anthony.
Exactly. Back in the day.
Something I really love, and you sit here and I've seen it, some of your content, is that, like, we hear about purpose all the time and not being aligned, and then how it's your birthright and you can do it and I believe in you, which is all true. But you said it's a responsibility, which I really like, because until that point, my story is not the same. I wasn't a supermodel. I wasn't a pro golfer, but it was the same thing. I was following what everyone outside shared with me and thinking, how come I'm not happy like everyone else? And then it's until you take responsibility, right?
Absolutely. I do believe, I always say, you know, not everyone that works with me is a Christian, but I am a Christian. For me, it's God. But I say, you just have to have something outside of yourself. God, source, universe, woo-woo, doorknob. I don't care what you want to call it. But for me, it's God. And for me, knowing that, like, this is literally my God-given purpose. This is the reason why I've been put on the planet. You know, oftentimes people say that they want to do something, but they don't have a strong enough why. When you truly tap into your why, you really tap into your purpose, there's really nothing that can stop you. And I think that that is the God-given purpose. That is the thing that you are just put on this planet to do. And, you know, I think I am one of the blessed people that I get to make money off of my purpose. And I think sometimes that's very confusing to a lot of people, because I don't think every single person has to make money off their purpose. I don't believe that at all. I just think I'm very blessed that it just happens to be that I make money living out my purpose.
Yeah, I love that point too, that it doesn't have to be like a career, or it doesn't have to be your job. You can have purpose just by coloring a picture, right? Like,
absolutely.
And I think you started it off, I'm like, wow, she's like checking out my Instagram or today. So no, on LinkedIn, I always just put a quote. Today's quote was, happiness depends more on the internal frame of a person's own mind than the externals in the world.
Absolutely. Like, there's no doubt about it. I mean, think about every single person who believes that I will be happy when. I have heard this for so many years. And, you know, it's so hard to convince a person. You know, you may look at my life now, but the funny part about it is you probably could have looked at my life 15 years ago and thought that I was unbelievably happy, because I did have money. I did have looks. I had the same relationship that I have now. I've been with my husband over 20 years. You know, I had the external. I was playing golf. I was getting paid a lot of money. I was doing television. I had that. And I was so unbelievably unhappy. And so every single person that believes, when I lose the weight, when I make the money, when I get divorced, when the kids leave the house, when I get married, when, you're totally missing the point. The happiness comes from just deciding it and then taking those small incremental actions. It's really the journey. And unfortunately, sometimes people don't understand that when they're in the middle of it. Like, I get it. Like, I get that I might, and myself and JP might be the person you just want to slap across the face because you're like, yeah, right, easy for you to say because you have that. But it is that moment where you realize that the greatest thing you can ever do is take personal responsibility for your life.
Yeah, I love it. I think I didn't always have it, but I dreamed it. I dreamt it way before, like, and everything that's happening, it's almost happening better than I could have dreamed it. So maybe I wasn't that good at the details, but you have to decide that it's your turn. So I think that's a nice segue. I would love to talk about obviously your company, what it looks like to work with you, but maybe could we just go to the podcast with that, Decide It's Your Turn?
Yeah. Decide It's Your Turn is the name of my podcast, but you know, it really started from a very hard moment in my life. So if you go back to the beginning stages of my podcast, so my podcast has been out, I think, 3 years now. And if you go back to episode, and the only reason why I know the episode number is because I had to share it with someone the other day, but it's episode number 6. And I say, I think the name of the podcast, and my podcast editor was fantastic, total clickbait, but it was called How I Lost $50,000 and Gained Confidence. And back in 2019, I hosted what was going to be my very first live event. And I had a partner at the time, and the name of the event I came up with was called Decide It's Your Turn. And we were going to host it. This event was going to be two of us. We were going to host it. It was a huge investment. It was a $100,000 investment. It was, you know, supposed to be like a few hundred people. It was a live event in person in Austin, Texas. And my partner at the time, after I think it was 7 days after the tickets were released, and we'd only sold like, I don't know, 14 or 15 right on the release day, my partner backed out and she said, I'm really sorry, this is a bigger investment of time and money than I can actually do, and I want to back out. You can do it yourself, or you can just scrap it, refund people's money, and go on. And that was really a life-defining, career-defining moment. And I will say it was the absolute hardest 5 months of my life. But I knew deep within myself that I had to do this event. And so I took on the whole responsibility of doing the whole event. I literally at the time had, you know, I probably had 10,000 followers, but like I'd say, you know, 8,000 of them were from my golf career. Like no one knew me for the personal development space. I'd only been doing it for like 3 years, I think, at the time. It was just this absolutely huge mountain on top of me. And obviously I had to take on a whole $100,000 budget by myself and event planners and speakers and all of the things. Anyway, it was probably the worst, best 5 months of my life getting this planned, but it was decided it's your turn was what we named it together. And I'm so fortunate that when we did part, and we do have an amicable, you know, relationship now, she actually was a speaker at the event. It just wasn't for her. And I do believe that that was God just telling me, hey, are you absolutely serious that you want to do this? Because he asked me to jump off the cliff with absolutely no safety net. And I did it. And it ended up working out fabulously. I made that money back times 10 after the event, for sure. It was the hardest thing I could have ever done. But it allowed me to trademark and take full ownership of Decide It's Your Turn, which for me was so in alignment. And so shortly after that, it became, you know, my brand, my trademark. And yeah, it was quite the journey.
That's magical. I'm not sure if it's Joseph Campbell or Julia Cameron, but they have a quote and it says, leap and the net will appear. Sounds like that's what happened to you.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, I tell my clients that all the time. At the end of the day, I mean, sometimes I believe, as a person of faith, I think that oftentimes we say, God, I want this so bad. I want this so bad. And then something will happen, distraction, the devil, whatever you want to call it, will come in and just like literally fight you from all of the ways, like me losing the money and her dropping out of the event. And it's like, I was begging for this opportunity and then he gave it to me, and the situation and the circumstances were not as good as I had hoped they were going to be. And he just said, do you trust me? And it's not always the way that we want it, but it always works out better.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a test, right? I see this happen over and again in my life and I'm like, God's testing me right now. This is a test.
100%.
Like, how bad do you want it? That's the test. And so, yes. And so maybe then we could turn towards your business, your coaching aspect. And also, I love motivational speaking too. So you're a powerful speaker. It's obvious. Everyone go check out the content. We'll put the links in, but maybe tell us what it looked like. Do you do one-on-one groups? I know you're talking about live events as well. And so what are we look forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have done all of the gamut of coaching. And, you know, I think in the coaching space, people tell you it should look one way. And I will tell you something happened at the beginning of last year. So just about a year ago, I was doing group coaching for a really long time. Masterminds are how I started. So masterminds is just, you know, if you've ever read like Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, he talks a lot about masterminds. And it's a group of people coming together to accelerate growth. And I'm a huge proponent of masterminds. I think that they are unbelievably life-changing when you can get in the room with like-minded people. But what I did come to believe is that after doing group coaching for such a long period of time and having sprinklings of one-on-one coaching, I realized that my clients who were working with me one-on-one were feeling more supported, went faster. They literally just love the one-on-one coaching. And every time I went to, you know, launch in this coaching space, we call it launching the online space, we went to launch these masterminds, everyone did want the mastermind, but they wanted me. They wanted the one-on-one. And it was part that I really liked the best because I knew the results of having one-on-one, a person in their life and in their business just for them, was something that was so unbelievably powerful that I just so appreciate in my life. And I knew my clients were appreciating it. My resistance was the fact that everyone tells you that's the wrong way to do business. Because if you do boil it down, my business is not a business. And what I mean by that is if you remove me, the income goes away, the money goes away. And I had held that back for a really long period of time because I thought I was, quote unquote, doing it wrong. A coach of my caliber who's been doing this with the results and working with so many people for such a long period of time, what was I telling people? You know, there was that bit of, gosh, you know, why would I downgrade my coaching capabilities? Why would I allow myself to make perhaps less money or affect lesser amount of people? You know, we all get into this and like, I want to impact a million people. But I really thought about it and I said, do I really care about impacting a million people, or is that my ego? Or do I really care about serving those that I can serve best? And for me, I just knew that a one-on-one coaching container is A, what I loved, and B, what moved the needle. And I needed to let go of my ego, and I needed to trust God if he was going to provide the financial blessings. And so for the last year, I've only done one-on-one coaching. So I only work with clients in a one-on-one container. Something that I do that I don't know if anyone else does is you can work with me full-time. I call it my coaching relationship, where you and I 24/7, 365 days a year, or my coaching membership, where you still get one-on-one with me, but it's at a lesser capacity. We only meet once a month for a year. I'm not a coach who's telling you that, you know, I'll change everything and I'll make you money overnight, because that's just not life. And so I like the long-term accountability. I like the long-term reprogramming, the long-term strategy.
Yeah, I love it. I think both of them are good and they both have their purpose, but it's amazing. I call it concierge service, what you're talking about there.
I love that. I've never actually called that. It's awesome. I call it a relationship. And the reason why I came up with a relationship coach is, like, I know it sounds kind of weird, but like, when I was playing professional golf, I knew that I only didn't need my coach 1 hour a week. Like, I wanted to talk to my coach, good things, bad things, questions, comments, concerns. So that's the reason why I was like, I need a relationship with my coach. And so that's why I called it. But I should call it concierge. That's fantastic, JP. You should be doing that yourself.
I do. I got all sorts. The one thing that I do love about coaching on my end is that there is so many different ways, like in-person, live events, one-on-one groups, courses. Oh, my God. Just so much. I digress. So I think we got coaching, motivational speaking now, and this might be more just personal because of me, that I'm going into this field more and more and I love it. And it's like, oh my God. So you're already there. I think I told you before we got on that you're where I want to be. So maybe can you tell us what, and actually I know a lot of people that do want to do motivational speaking. I think that's the biggest public fear, right? Is public speaking. So what kind of tips or advice would you have for anyone who's sitting on the fence still?
Oh, I love it. So there's so many ways. I always say that, like, one of my favorite quotes is Joyce Meyer. And she said, because someone asked her one time, how do you not get nervous when you talk in front of hundreds of thousands of people? And she said, it's very simple. The minute you make it about you, you're going to be nervous. So the minute, if I slip up my words, do I look like an idiot? Am I saying it the right way? So it's really never about you. One thing that I do before I do any type of speaking engagement, whether it be this podcast, getting on a call with my clients, or I'm speaking in front of thousands or hundreds of people, is I always say a prayer. I'm like, just Lord, allow me to just take you through me, speak through me, allow me to deliver the message. And something that I think is sometimes hard to do because our ego does get in the way, but I just remember, if there is one person I'm making an impact to, one person matters. You never know what that impact is going to do. You know, I've been blessed to be able to do this for 7 years now. I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And something that I know to be true is that, like, if I can really help one person decide it's their turn, my job is done. And you don't have to impact a million people in order to, like, actually use your life for a purpose and a reason. I know that there has been a fistful of people that have 100% changed my life and saved my life in many regards. And perhaps they haven't impacted millions of people, but one person really matters. You know, if you want to start, I would just say start. Every single person pretty much on the planet now has some sort of social media. Hit a live. Start talking to people. record yourself, put out content. You know, I always tell people, most people wait for the motivation to do something. And that's bullshit, because action breeds the motivation. Action breeds confidence. If you want to get more confident in doing it, try doing it 10,000 times. You'll be much more confident. When I first started, and still to this day, funny enough that you said this, I have a speaking engagement next week in front of a group of people that I have probably never spoke in front of this caliber of business executives. A few hundred people. First of all, it's local. Local puts on extra pressure. I can talk online on this podcast super fucking easy. No big deal. You know, I was speaking to a group in Europe. No big deal. But when it's people that you know, faces that you know in person, and to quote unquote a level in which you've never done before, it's always nerve-wracking. But I also think too, you know, if my job is to help people push them into their greatness, I need to be, you know, putting my money where my mouth is.
Oh, so good. So much to unpack. Let me unpack some of it. So one person at a time. I don't know if it was Jordan Peterson, somebody. They said, when you're speaking out at a crowd, you're not speaking at a crowd. You're talking to one person and then the next person. And it actually makes it easier, because if you're someone who gets nervous because of the crowd, just look at that one person. I think quotes you're saying, do you know who Wayne Dyer is?
Oh, gosh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when you're saying God comes through me, I feel like that when I'm writing. And Wayne Dyer used to talk about this all the time, that it's not him writing, like it's God's coming through him, or source or whatever. And then he also, you said ego a couple of times. He has a beautiful one about ego. He says it's an acronym. It's edge God out. So when our ego comes in, it's because we're edging God out. And so you need to kind of return to source, let that divinity inside all of us come through, and it will. And I think as you trust the universe, that's what happens. When you're talking about speaking, are you saying you still get nervous going up there?
Fuck yes.
Okay. Now I have a question for you. Is that nervous? Is that a fear, or is that an excitement? Because it feels the same.
It does feel the same. And I'll be honest, if I'm being honest, I know the right answer is be like, oh, I'm just super excited. But no, of course I'm scared. Like, I always try to, you know, in coaching, I think my job isn't to have all the right answers all the time. That's not my job as a coach. My job is to give the overhead perspective and really help someone get clear and confident on what is best and right for them. And to say that I do not, you know, not, I don't want to use the word suffer, but I do not, and I'm not affected by any of the things that affect my clients, that is 100% not true. Of course I'm nervous. Of course I want to do a good job. But preparation, that definitely helps for sure. And my willingness to just show up and always do the best job that I'm possibly able to do, and really trust in my abilities and trust the fact that obviously God has me there for a purpose and a reason. I was asked to do it. So, hey, it's on them. It's not on me. They're the ones who asked me to come.
Thank you. That's amazing. I kind of thought you were going to say that, because most people would say excitement. So that's why I asked, and I'm glad I did. So thank you. Habits, about that last exchange before, the final thing was habits and motivation. Jim Rohn says, like, motivation will get you started, but habits is what keeps you going. And then you even said about just showing up. It's about showing up, and you're going to make the mistakes. So just start showing up today. I would like to turn towards something I saw is decision, faith, and action. This is like a framework you use.
Absolutely.
And so before you even talk about it, I have a framework I use called bias, and it goes belief, intention, action, surrender. Belief, intention, action, and then surrender. And they're kind of similar. So can you talk about yours, though? Because I'm sure there's a lot more nuance that I'm missing.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm so glad that you have that. Like, it feels very in alignment. Like, what we're talking is very much in alignment. And I think that you should have someone who has some sort of structure to what they talk about. You know, I would say that most of my clients know that that's kind of my framework. But when you're doing the work, it's like, we're like, oh yeah, that's right. This is what we're actually doing. But a decision, I always say, everyone uses the word decision every single day. Everyone always uses the word decision. But a decision, a true decision, is something where you burn the bridges. Like, just because, you know, my husband and I are currently on 75 hard. I don't know if you've heard of it, but my husband and I are currently on the 75 hard program. It's the second time that we've done it. It's a friggin' pain in the ass, but it's one of the greatest mental challenges. Most people use it as like a fitness challenge. It's not, folks. It is 100% a mental challenge. But, you know, I am not, you know, a decision is like, I am doing this no matter what. So it could be raining, it could be snowing, it could be dark, it could be light. My decision is that I am doing 2 workouts a day. It's part of the decision that I've made. And when you make a true decision, it's, you don't have 1 foot in the pond and 1 foot in the other pond. One of my guests on my podcast, a good girlfriend of mine, former client of mine, she always says, when you have 2 feet in 2 different ponds, you're going to drown. So make a clear decision. Isn't that a good line? Make a clear decision. Like, decision is something that burn the bridges. This is going to happen. The faith part is the belief outside of yourself that something, whether that's God, source, universe, whatever, whatever you believe, something is guiding your path. Something is guiding your way. I think that that's a big one. You have to believe that something outside of yourself is guiding you to what you're supposed to do. And then the action part. You know, you and I both exist in the social media space, which is a beautiful blessing, but it's also a son of a bitch. Because every single person just, like, there's 90% of people say, like, overnight success, $10,000 months, make $1 million like this. And they forget the fact that, like, there is so much action going behind it. You may look at me and you're saying that you would like to be where I'm at. And I think it's easy for someone to witness where someone's at. And where I'm at may be great or maybe nothing, depending on who you are. But the action it has taken, the hard decisions that it has taken to get to where I am today, I think that that is one of the things that social media is a downfall, because people don't see the blood, sweat, and tears, the decisions, the hard things, the money spent, the hours of preparation. Like, they don't see those things behind it. So decision, make a clear decision, have faith that things are happening as they should be, even if you don't understand. And then the action part, because there's a shit ton of action that needs to be taken.
I love it. Yeah, it makes me think of marathon training, right? Like, you don't want to go out, but you have certain days where you have to do certain runs, and it doesn't matter if it's snowing or raining or sunny. It's just, you just do it. Do hard things. I think I'm learning, and I kind of knew it already, but the more I do hard things, in the moment it might suck, but like right later, it's like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did those things.
Amen.
And so I always ask everyone this. This is the Phase 4 podcast. Phase 4 and the 6-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating a future 3 years from today. So where is Christina 3 years from today?
I hope I'm doing the exact same thing. I really do. You know, my husband hates this word so much, but I feel like it is one of the biggest blessings in the world when you get to a point in your life that you're so content with where you're at. And as a person who really, really struggled with self-worth and liking herself for such a long period of time, I motivated myself for such a long period of time by telling myself I wasn't good enough, and that, like, just really pushed myself. I had a lot of success by doing it, but it was a very unhealthy type of success. But I always thought, like, it's never good enough. You're never good enough. You're never skinny enough, rich enough, pretty enough, all of the things, the never enoughness. And I've always been fearful of saying that, like, this is enough, because I thought that it would not motivate me. I have now come to realize that I am so content exactly where I am. And that self-love and that contentment and knowing that, like, oh my God, how lucky am I that this is my life, motivates me so much more for what is next. So if nothing ever changed, so the answer to your question is kind of twofold. If nothing ever changed, I would be so okay, because I'm so good with where I'm at. But I also know from this space of being so good with where I'm at, I also know that it's, like, so freaking trippy what could be possible.
Yeah, it's almost, for me, it's almost scary what could be possible. That's my own thing. I think you're always growing, right? So yeah, the answer you gave, I love. Like, where am I at? I want to kind of be where I'm at right now, maybe expand a little further. But, like, yeah, integrating the shadow is part of acceptance and being content. So I definitely love that answer. As we're wrapping up, beginning to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, but no hard sell. And reach out to Christina. If you need a coach one-on-one, concierge service, she's there for you. And I kind of ask people here, where do you take it wherever you want? Like, if it's a message of hope, if you have something to sell, sell it. Something you want to share, maybe I didn't get to, or anywhere you want to go, you can take it.
Well, you should not hard sell your podcast, because you really should. I mean, what you're doing in this world, people need more of this. Whether it's me, whether it's this podcast, whether it's my podcast or someone else's, we should all be supporting people who are putting greatness out into the world. So when JP says like, subscribe, and share, please do it. It makes a massive difference. You know, I don't know how long you've been doing this podcast. I see you're close to 100 episodes, but 2 years. Yeah, he's been doing it 2 years. And I will tell you, a person who gets past like 10 podcasts is freaking in the 1%. Most people quit because this shit's hard. And I'm sure you don't monetize this a ton besides getting people to know who you are and perhaps purchase your services. You know, I've never, quote unquote, had any advertising on my podcast, and I do it week in and week out. I've never in my life missed an episode, and nor do I plan to. But we need more people in this world that are doing really great things that they see so much value in and they are so passionate about. You know, it doesn't matter if you believe the same thing as JP and I, but one thing that he and I both have in common is that we're both so passionate about our lives and about what we're doing. And I truly do believe, you know, this speech that I referred to that I'm giving next week, I truly do believe if more people were confident enough to live out their God-given purpose, we wouldn't have a fraction of the shit we have in this world. Because good people, one of my former mentors said, when good people are doing good things and they make great money, they change the world. And I totally agree with that. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And if anyone resonates with me and, you know, the way that I have my faith, and I also cuss like a sailor, I would love to hear from you. And whether you listen to my podcast or reach out to me for coaching, I am on all social media platforms at Be Christina, because I encourage everyone to be their most authentic selves. So be JP, be Karen, be Susan, be Mike. I do work with men and women, but yeah, just come say hi. I love it.
That's awesome. So my final question usually is, how can people reach you? But that's okay. Let's play around here. What's something you're working towards, a goal that you're working towards that maybe can inspire others right now?
Well, currently, as we said, like I said, we're doing the 75 hard again. So if you don't know what 75 hard is, Andy Frisella created it. Andy Frisella has a great podcast. And
is that where you get your truck sailor mouse from?
Yeah, sailor mouse. Okay. No, I definitely don't cuss as much as Andy. I do cuss, but I don't cuss as much as Andy. I seem like a church mouse compared to him. But no, we are doing 75 hard again. So we did it when I turned 40. So I turned 40 a couple of years ago, and a lot of my clients had done it. And I just knew that, like you said, doing hard things. My husband and I have a motto that we do hard things. And I knew that I wanted to push myself to do it, because I knew it was a mental test more than anything. And, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but like, newsflash, especially for women who like live this lifestyle anyway, it was like not that freaking hard. Like, I actually live the 75 hard lifestyle 85% of the time. I'm not a huge partier. I eat relatively well. I go for a walk every single day. I see my trainer Monday through Friday whenever we're in town. Like, I live this lifestyle most of the time. So it really wasn't that hard for me. However, I will say that there is a few moments during the 75 days that you don't want to do it, and it's such a piss off, and you do it anyway. But when you accomplish it, you feel so good at the end. I do think that there's a few flaws to it. So right now, we're currently doing it again for my husband's 50th. We're done in April, the beginning of April, but it's actually preparing us. We're going to do the Sel Conte trail to climb Machu Picchu for my husband's 50th. So I did Kilimanjaro a few years ago for a children's charity, and it was one of the greatest things that I've ever done. And so my husband was not with me. So we're going to do this hike for his 50th. So it'll be good.
That's magical. You think he'll go to Tanzania? You think he'll go back there?
back for a safari. We did a safari through Kenya and Tanzania, but no, we won't. We love to travel. We have an amazing life. Travel is a priority for us. We don't have children. We both work a lot. So we've seen so many countries in this world. We probably won't go back to the same ones. So we're going to try Machu Picchu, and who knows what we do next.
Yeah, that's a beautiful spot. I'd love to finish with a quote that kind of goes along with you, and it's my favorite quote. It's Albert Einstein, and it says, "The most important decision that you ever make is whether you believe you live in a friendly or a hostile universe. Decision, belief." And I think it kind of sums up what you've been teaching and sharing with the world. And your knowledge, like you said, it's needed. It's grateful. If anybody didn't pick us out through this whole thing, a coach needs a coach. And she described from the very beginning, she had a coach talking about athletic career coach, talking about going through her own journey, having coaches and still having coaches. So coaches need coaches. Part of it is a business-to-business adventure. And explore that and reach out to Christina. And Christina, I'm so grateful for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Thank you.